On Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 58, you're going to learn about a musical chameleon, and we're going to take a tour de luthery of the Great White North. Yes, three luthiers from north of the U.S. border. All that and more right after this.
If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite.
Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 58. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to drink a bunch of LaCroix, and I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week. And this is stuff that you absolutely need to know about. But before I dive into the list today, I have to introduce you to the person that actually makes Acoustic Tuesday possible, because he presses the right buttons, he turns the right knobs, and he brings an overall sense of, well, he just has an awesome attitude. So ladies and gentlemen, Sir Noah Jacob Heckman Jr. the first, cheers to you, Noah.
Cheers to you as well, Tony. And a Merry Acoustic Tuesday.
And Merry Acoustic Tuesday to you.
And to you.
Feliz Acoustic Tuesday, Dad.
Right. To you. And to the folks viewing us abroad.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel good.
Good. You got your workout in?
Did get the workout
awesome.
In.
Awesome.
That's key. That helps a lot. And I'm looking forward to what you got on deck for us today.
I'm excited too, because I'm gonna feature three luthiers that these are all relatively new luthiers to me, and I lumped them all together because they're all Canadian luthiers. And I think the last one that I'm going to share with you, I don't know if you've actually ever heard of her, but we'll get there. Before I dive into I got a lot of notes here. I'm trying to, Noah switched the order on me, so I'm very confused right now. No, we collaborated. We switched up the order, so I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit. I'm going to dive into the very first Canadian luthier that I'm going to feature today. And all of these luthiers, I just want you to know, all the luthiers that I'm going to feature, the reason I chose them is because I all think they excel at a very unique aspect of luthery. And this very first one that I'm going to feature, they're located in Quebec. And in my opinion, they definitely have their finger on the pulse of tradition. When I look at this particular luthier, I think, man, this is exactly what luthery, they are just steeped in the tradition of luthery. And they're located in the heart of one of the best places for raw materials. Literally, they can go out their front door and chop down a tree, and it's beautiful Adirondack spruce. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Boucher Guitars of Quebec. Now, Boucher Guitars was new to me. I haven't had a chance to actually play one personally yet, but they are on my list, and I'm super excited to eventually get my hands on one, because I think the vibe that they're after and the vibe that they go for in creating instruments is that very thing. Is they're steeped in tradition, but they make improvements and have access to some of the greatest raw materials. I mean, just their overall style breakdown is pretty simple. They've got two basic models. They've got the Bluegrass Goose and the Studio Goose. That's it. Now, those models come in different sizes. On the Bluegrass Goose end of the spectrum, you've got an OM and you've got a Dreadnought. And on the Studio Goose end of the spectrum, you've got a Dreadnought, an OM, a 0012 fret, and an S Jumbo, which I believe stands for Small Jumbo. And of course, a variety of tone woods as well. And the cool thing about each of these models and each of the guitars that they make is that there's all these different upgrade packages available. They have this kind of, I think they call it the golden era, or something along those lines, where the top is tinted to simulate an aging effect. They also have a sunburst option, a black option, cutaway, left-handed, 12-string, you name it. You gotta check out their website. And of course, you can find out about them more at acousticlife.tv/AT58. Now, as I mentioned, they are from Quebec. Now, the lead luthier there, the person that started Boucher Guitars, is Robin Boucher. And I believe they started, I wrote it down here, they were founded in 2005. So they've making guitars for quite a bit, and I found a great demo done by, I'm going to probably butcher this artist's name, but I'm going to try my best, J.P. Comier. Is that right, Noah? That sounded really good. Okay, thanks.
I'm assuming it has the French influence there, yeah. Being in Canada and all?
And I think the more confident I say it, the more people will be like, yeah, that's exactly how you say it.
Yeah. Say it
so
again.
J.P. Comier. I found a great video of J.P. Comier playing a, I believe it's a Studio Goose OM hybrid. He's playing the Cannonball Rag, and he's just a great player, and the guitar sounds fantastic. So let's have a listen. So that was a Studio Goose by Boucher Guitars, again from Quebec. They started again in 2005, and I would strongly recommend exploring their site. There's obviously they have their standard options, but there's a bunch of custom options as well. So it's definitely worth some time hanging out on their site and clicking around. Again, you can find that at acousticlife.tv/AT58. There will be a post dedicated to Boucher Guitars and all the appropriate links to the custom shop, the different models, and of course their site as well. Now, I want to move on. I've got another Canadian luthier queued up here, but I do have to announce your Guitar Geek trivia question. This is a good one. So here is your Guitar Geek trivia question. Georgia Music Hall of Fame inductees Gid Tanner and the Skillet Lickers were known for their take on American traditional music, fiddle tunes, and even comedy sketches. Who was the Skillet Lickers guitar player? Was it A, Riley Puckett, B, Edgar Bose, C, Charlie Patton, or D, Roy Harvey? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. Now, moving along here, the next luthier that I'm going to feature, I've actually talked about before on Acoustic Tuesday, but something literally just arrived in the mailbag, and I have to share it with you all because it's an album that I ordered some time ago. It finally arrived, and I think every acoustic guitar geek on the planet needs to own this album. Seriously, it's that good. What is the album? Well, it's the album Blake and Rice, of course, featuring Tony Rice and Norman Blake. This just came in today. I ordered this some time ago, and I'm just tickled because I've always wanted this on vinyl, and I've never had it until today. And it's a great day. It's a super great day. In fact, I was terrified because when it showed up, the packaging was all bent, and I was so worried. And then I opened it up and I saw that the record sleeve was kind of bent and I was like, oh no. But luckily, the folks that shipped it to me took the record out of the sleeve and it was protected, so the record was in great condition. The sleeve's a little bent, but I think it'll straighten out over time. So I'm pumped. And if you don't own that record, if you've never heard that record, go listen to it. Blake and Rice, you can get it on CD, vinyl. It's on Spotify as well, but it's worth a listen because it is just acoustic guitar awesomeness. Moving on to the next luthier. This next luthier started building guitars in 1972 under the tutelage of Jean Larrivé. She's based in Toronto, and she's built guitars for the likes of Pat Metheny, Carlos Santana, and there's another one, Julian Lage as well. And I'm talking about Linda Manzer. Now, I've actually featured her indirectly before on Acoustic Tuesday because she was part of the Group of Seven guitar project, which was a project where seven Canadian luthiers used famous Canadian paintings inspired by the Group of Seven to actually build guitars, to inspire guitars. Now, that's something you should definitely check out, aside from Linda Manzer's guitars specifically. And in fact, I want to say it was Acoustic Tuesday 24. I might be wrong. Do you know, Noah? Off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head.
I think it was in the 20s. I'm willing to bet it's in the 20s. You can find it at acousticlife.tv. Just kind of click around. There's going to be, it's entitled The Group of Seven Guitar Projects. Very, very cool. But again, aside from that, Linda Manzer is an incredible luthier. She's built beautiful guitars for Pat Metheny, just a regular six-string guitar, but also the Picasso guitar, which has a ton of strings, and then a guitar with even more strings called the Medusa guitar. This guitar has more strings than I think anybody knows what to do with. In fact, I think she built it for, and I'm just trying to go by memory here, Henrik Andersen. Does that name sound right? We were talking about this earlier.
That was it. That was it.
But the guitar is just, I mean, it's got a fretless neck, it's a baritone, six string. It's got a whole bunch of everything on it. And I just think that she is, I think she's one of those luthiers that everybody needs to know because of her history and experience in guitar building. In fact, again, she's built so many guitars for Pat Metheny. Her and Pat have a really cool relationship, and I found an interesting interview that was done by D'Addario asking questions of the both of them in the same room. So it was cool to get Pat's perspective on his relationship with Linda. So actually, let's have a look at a segment of that right now.
One of the really cool things about going around and playing gigs and having a couple records out or whatever is the chance that you get to meet great guitar makers. And I consider Linda one of my best, most important collaborators.
Right. Had you actually, I don't know whether I heard this story correctly, but had you actually just approached Pat with a guitar?
I sent a letter backstage at one of his concerts. His road manager came out and found me, and I ended up talking to him, and they suggested that we go back to the hotel and take a bunch of guitars, and Pat played the whole concert over again in the room.
Linda handed me her instrument, and it was instantaneously a completely different experience for me, and the way the notes went from one register to the next it was exactly what it is I'm always looking for, which is it sounds like one instrument and it's very connected. And her guitars consistently have that. And they sound
for
incredible.
For that full interview, you can go to acousticlife.tv/AT58. You'll be able to see the full thing. And one of the highlights of that interview for me is just to listen to the way that Pat talks about Linda as one of his greatest collaborators. I mean, it's just kind of it's a cool perspective, and one that I think is just worthy of noting. Now, you're probably wondering, like, cool, well, she builds all these cool guitars, six strings, these crazy guitars, even archtops, but what the hell do they even sound like? Well, I found this really cool clip of Tony McManus, who I mentioned three episodes ago now, in the 50s, Tony McManus playing a Linda Manzer guitar, and this particular guitar is a sitar guitar. It's not a sitar, it's not a guitar, it's a sitar guitar. You might even be able to call it a cigar. That's not the name of it. But I found a cool clip, so let's have a listen to Tony McManus playing a Linda Manzer sitar guitar. So again, to find out more about Linda Manzer and her amazing work, please go to acousticlife.tv/AT58. You'll be able to learn a bunch more about her and see some of her really impeccable craftsmanship. I mean, her instruments are, they're wild. I mean, she has standard models, quote unquote standard models, but I've looked at a full gamut of her instruments and I cannot see one that's alike another. I just can't. So really a true craftswoman, I should say, to be proper. But go to acousticlife.tv/AT58 to learn more about her. Now, I want to keep cruising along here because I've got another Canadian luthier that I think you're going to love, and also an artist that was recommended by an Acoustic Tuesday viewer. But I want you to leave a comment and let us know how we're doing on the show. So please, in the comments below, let us know what you think about the show. Did you learn something new? Did you find out about a luthier that you had never heard of before? Whatever the case may be, please leave it in the comments. And while you're at it, please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Super easy. Hit that red subscribe button. Don't forget to click that little gray bell. That'll give you a notification of each new video that goes live. And of course, tell your friends about Acoustic Tuesday. We want to unite as many guitar geeks that is humanly possible. So please leave your comments and share the show, and don't forget to subscribe. Noah, I know you were paging through comments earlier today.
Sure was.
And there were some accent requests for you.
You know what?
Because you are the master of all accents.
Yeah. So thank you for those. Okay. First of all, I am going to practice, right? I think there was a request for Icelandic. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to have to brush up a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I will. I will write those down, and then I will give it my best shot, perhaps on next Acoustic Tuesday. We'll see.
What comments did you select for us?
Yes. So, shout-outs and comments. Here we go. Got three of them for you today, Tony. And all right. First shout-out goes to Sam K., who is from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Cool.
And he says, I just subscribed today, and... also seeking an invite to Tony's Acoustic Challenge.
All right. Awesome.
Next one, a shout out goes to Andrea A. She says, hey, just a shout from Parian Calamba, Laguna, Philippines.
Whoa, cool.
All right, I totally butchered all that.
I think you did great. Just but say it with confidence.
But I got Philippines right. Yeah. You're right.
Good job.
Say it with confidence. She says, just wondering, are you in Rhinelander, Wisconsin? I noticed you had a Hodag coffee mug in one episode I saw. Great show. I watch them when I have time.
That's a good eye.
Yeah.
Should we speak to the Hodag mug?
Sure.
Should we just kind of tell the little story behind it?
Go ahead, Tony.
We have a Acoustic Tuesday viewer, a fan in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and he was he wanted us to drink our coffee out of a proper mug and drink our bourbon out of a proper vessel as well. So he sent us some official Hodag coffee mugs as well as some official Hodag shot glasses, hence the Hodag mugs. In fact, my folks actually just recently moved up to northern Wisconsin, so we've got some pretty deep Hodag connections here.
Sure do.
And I wanna know if there's a movie about the Hodag, because I think that would make for a great horror movie. I love horror movies.
We know. It would make it. Or it could be an adventure with a boy and his pet Hodag.
Oh, I like that too.
And the Hodag.
Like a How to Train Your Dragon, but more on like a Hodag end of the spectrum.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We could be movie makers, Noah.
I'm going to give you the last shout out and comment for the day, Tony.
Thanks. Way to stick to the plan.
And this last one comes from The Dark Otter.
Mm.
And he or she says, hello from Pennsylvania. I just wanted to drop a quick hello as I am a new follower of your amazing channel. This is the third episode for me. You guys are phenomenal in your content, from featuring artists, builders, and equipment. It is all very interesting. I just can't stop being enthralled.
Oh, man.
Of course, I followed, but I rarely hit the notification bell, but I had to for this channel. Looking forward to many more shows.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks for subscribing and doing the notification thing. That's outstanding. Thanks for leaving the comments and the shout-outs. Noah, thanks for reading them. That was fantastic.
My pleasure.
I think some of our greatest ideas come from the comments and the shout-outs.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Hodag movie?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty excited about making that. No? You're not excited about it?
No, I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited.
I think you would star as the boy, and I'd probably be the Hodag.
I could do
that
a great...
That was just dumb. I'm sorry.
Okay. We should really move on to guitar geeky things, but that does sound really fun.
Okay. I'll move on now.
Thank you.
I want to tell you guys what I'm listening to this week. Because this week, first let me back up and actually tell you who shared this artist with me. Eric T. from Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada, cites this particular artist for his versatility and unique flavor. And I'm super, I'm very much in agreement. Is agreement a word? Or did I just make that up?
I think you just made that up.
Okay. It sounded good. I'll say it with confidence.
Okay.
I'm very much in agreement or rather agreement with Eric about his artist recommendation, because I had heard of this artist some time ago and been familiar with him. And this is the type of artist that every now and again you just need a subtle reminder that, hey, this guy's out here and he's amazing. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Tim O'Brien. Tim O'Brien is, gosh, first of all, he plays everything. We're talking fiddle, banjo, mandolin, octave mandolin, guitar, you name it, he can play it. And his singing is awesome. His singing is the type that makes the hair stand up on your arms. It gives you the goosebumps. And that's a good sign for any artist. Now, Tim O'Brien was originally involved in starting Hot Rise with Pete Wernick. Now, Hot Rise is kind of a bluegrass band with Charles Sawtell, Pete Wernick, Tim O'Brien, and I forget, there's another, the bass player. He does E-Town. I can't remember his name, and it's killing me. Ugh. Anyways, killer bluegrass band based out of Colorado. They were started in... I didn't write the year down. Shoot. I want to say the 70s. I could be wrong. But Tim launched his first solo album in 1982, and that was entitled Hard Year Blues. More on that in a second, but I just want to give you a list of the acts that Tim O'Brien has played with. Hot Rise, obviously, since he started it. He's played a duo with Daryl Scott. He's played with Dirk Powell, great old-timey musician. He's also been in Steve Earle's bluegrass band, The Dukes. Toured and recorded with him, the whole deal, amongst many, many others. I saw him originally, not originally, but I was lucky enough to see him at the Station Inn in Nashville some 5 years ago. He was playing with Noam Pikelny on banjo, Mike Bubb on bass, and Brian Sutton on guitar. It was incredible. I was able to sit really close and I just was floored. His playing is amazing, and as I mentioned, his vocals are outstanding as well. In fact, I got a great clip of him playing banjo right now on a tune called You Were On My Mind, and just cool. It's shot very well. It's done by the Bluegrass Situation, and I wanted to pull it because I think it just embodies all things Tim, all things that are awesome about Tim. So let's have a listen.
Like water through my hand. I wonder if I'll ever see you ever kiss your lips again. Now if you hear me and I'm singing some old lonesome song like this, you know I'm not over you and I am longing for your kiss. Wishing I could linger longer, sit down in some evening shade. But you know I had to ramble, I guess that's the way I'm made. You were on my mind this morning, you were on my mind today. We had our good times together, we sure had our special way.
Tim O'Brien playing and singing You Were On My Mind. Now, Tim has a whole slew of albums. I mean, the discography is mind-boggling, but there's five albums that I think, if you're new to Tim O'Brien, are kind of the highlights or places I would start. I mean, I think his whole catalog is great, but the first one that I mentioned before, was released in 82, and that was Hard Year Blues. And I think this is one of those albums that you just have to have. I recently found it when I was in Denver at a record store, and I was floored to find it on vinyl. I was super pumped. It's just full of awesomeness. It's full of bluegrassiness. It's got... what's the name of the tune? It's totally escaping me. It's like a minor tune. It's in a minor key. Darn. Anyways, it's good. You should check it out. The next album I'll cite is Fiddler's Green. That was released in 2005. A fantastic album. Again, bluegrassy, but a little bit more collaborative. The tune, and this one's escaping me too. I'm not doing good with the names. And it's okay. I'm so focused on trying to not use the word outstanding that it's affecting my memory of the tunes. Oh, Look Down That Lonesome Road. That's what it's called.
All right, good job.
Thank you.
I remembered the one coming up on the next one.
I tried to not only pick out albums for you all, but I wanted to cite specific songs that I really like off of these albums. The next album released in 2010, Chicken and Egg, the tune that you have to hear off of this album is called Letter in the Mail. If you're sensitive, you will cry when hearing this tune. If you're not sensitive, you will also cry when you hear this tune. It's just one of those ones that kind of grabs your heart, just tears it out, throws it down the street, and puts it in the creek, lets it wash away to the sea. It's that kind of song. The next album I'll mention was released in 2013. It's called Memories and Moments. That was a duo album with Daryl Scott. The title track off of that is really, really a treat to listen to. And then the last album, his most recent album released in 2017, Where the River Meets the Road. And I just gave that a spin this morning as I was kind of gathering things for the show. And in true Tim O'Brien fashion, it features his voice. It's, again, also collaborative. And the songs are great. His singing's great. The playing's awesome. So Tim O'Brien is definitely one of those artists that you need to know. And you probably, maybe unknowingly, already heard him, but you need to specifically seek out his stuff because he's just one of those acoustic music treasures that we have. So check out Tim O'Brien. All right, moving on. Noah, we've got to get to some really important stuff. And I always say, like, Noah, mm-hmm. It's more of me talking to myself through you. You know what I'm saying?
Wait.
I'm like, no, we really got to stay on track here.
Through me? You're talking to yourself through me?
I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to you as a reminder for myself.
Gotcha.
You know, like, yeah. It's like me giving myself advice, but I use you as the subject.
I kind of like it. Makes me feel important, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, no, you really got to watch your anger issues. Like... No, you really gotta be a little bit more focused.
Right.
Okay, at this point of the show, I really want to ask a big favor of you, and that is to please share the show. The whole notion with Acoustic Tuesdays is to unite as many guitar geeks that's possible. And because of you guys watching the show, all of you, whether it's your first time watching or you know you've been with us from the start, we depend on you to share the show and help spread the good word about guitar geekiness and uniting as many guitar geeks as possible. So please share the show with your guitar geek friends, even if it's your local store, your guitar teacher, somebody you meet at your local grocery store. Maybe you see that they have a guitar shirt on and you're like, hey, do you watch Acoustic Tuesday? Because if you don't, you probably should. So please share the show. And without further ado, I want to dive into some true guitar geeks. And I'm talking about folks that have reached the pinnacle of Guitar Geek Mountain. And the way that you do that is, of course, by sharing your guitarsonal with us here on Acoustic Tuesday. I've got two guitarsonals for you submitted by our very own Acoustic Tuesday viewers. The very first guitarsonal I have for you is from Richard Lang, who is from Kingsland, Texas, and he calls that his home base. Currently, he is somewhere in the U.S. That's what he says in his little note, and he describes his guitarsonal as follows. This has got some great stories. I had the pleasure of meeting Richard at the Acoustic Life Festival held here in June of 2018. He says, this is the current herd. They all fit in cases inside my 2005 Georgetown XL motorhome, and I was inspired to take this picture after, one, seeing Acoustic Tuesday episode 53, and two, the bright and cold day here in Deer Lodge, Montana, where I'm currently parked. Since it's only me and Rita the Wonder Dog traveling, I'm putting what might have been one picture into a couple here. He goes on to say, the dude with no hair actually was at Acoustic Life Festival. He just had hair at the time. In my arms, hiding the bulk of the guitarsonal shirt, is the aforementioned Rita, the world's cutest chihuahua, who also attended Acoustic Life Festival, much to the delight of Caitlin Canty, who autographed a disc for her. That was a pretty cool story. So here's the guitarsonal in detail. We've got an Oscar Schmidt 8-string acoustic electric ukulele, a Gretsch Jim Dandy, a home-built Telecaster knockoff, a Zager ZAD50 acoustic, a Fender acoustic electric cutaway 12-string, a Kala acoustic electric tenor ukulele, and last is my 2014 Martin Custom Shop HD28 with Adirondack spruce top, East Indian rosewood back and sides, and a custom neck profile. He says, everyone has their dream. This was mine for 50 years until I finally indulged myself. The last image is Rita, the Wonder Chihuahua, scoping out my homemade Telecaster. I've played that guitar on stage at John Lee Hooker's Boom Boom Room in San Francisco a few times. Awesome stories and great pictures. Richard, thank you so much for sharing your guitar arsenal with us. Next up, we've got a guitar arsenal from Sean DeBurka. From Tunbridge Wells, England. Now, Sean actually sent us an album of his because he knew that Noah and I like metal, and we also like acoustic music. And Sean happened to do an instrumental album that was, it kind of walked the line in between metal and acoustic music. It's really cool. He references it in his writing here. So here's what Sean says. He says, hey guys, tuning in from Tunbridge Wells, England. Thanks for checking out my Mechanism album that I sent in a few weeks ago. I thought I'd send in my guitar arsenal too. Before you ask, the photo isn't flipped. I am indeed a lefty, unfortunately. Also, the hair and beard is real. It's not a Tony disguise. From left to right, here is Sean's guitar arsenal. His very first guitar is an Admira Classico, purchased around 1997 when he was 6 years old, and it's still in fantastic condition. Next up is his endorsement guitar, a Faith Jupiter High Gloss. This is his workhorse guitar used for almost all writing, performing, and recording. He had this guitar fitted with a K&K Trinity pickup. Next up is a 12-string Landola that was gifted to me by his great uncle a few years ago. Next is a Dean ML, and this is where the metal comes in. I love this. He says, I'm a huge Pantera Dimebag Darrell fan. After obsessing over the Dean Guitars catalog in my teen years, I couldn't resist buying this guitar. Next up is a Tanglewood Nevada bass, used heavily during my days playing bass in metal bands, mostly used as a writing tool. Now, next up, a Fender Squire Affinity Strat, a total impulse buy after listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan. And next is a Harley Benton 8-string that cost less than $130. Now, this has a cool story that involves the next guitar. He says, during 2014, I became aware of Carillion Guitars in Surrey, England, and we started talking about a custom-built extended-range acoustic. But before spending lots of money on a custom build, I wanted to see if I could handle the extra strings without breaking the bank. So I got this Harley Benton. It's by no means an amazing guitar, but it did what I wanted by providing me with the chance to experiment with extra strings. Now, finally, the guitar that he's holding, my absolute pride and joy. This is the custom-built 7-string extended-range acoustic from Carillion Guitars that I debated pursuing until I had tried out playing extra strings using the Harley Benton 8-string. This guitar is absolutely mind-blowing and has a 27-inch scale, 13 to 70 gauge D'Addario strings, currently tuned down to F-sharp, down from the usual low B that 7-strings are commonly tuned to. It has an Alpine Spruce top, Wenge back and sides, and mahogany binding. He says, the Faith in Carillion can be heard in various live playthrough videos on his YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search Sean DeBurka. You'll be able to find his channel. So I want to thank Sean and Richard for sharing your guitar arsenals with us. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, holy smokes, Tone, I want to share my guitar arsenal. I want to share my stories. Please do. It's super easy. There's 3 steps. Number 1, get yourself a Guitar Arsenal shirt. There's a link right beneath this episode. Number 2, put that Guitar Arsenal shirt on and take a picture amongst your guitars. Number 3, the most important step, submit it at acousticlife.tv. Once you go to acousticlife.tv, in the top menu, you'll see a link to submit. Just click it and you can put your picture in, description, tell your story, the whole deal, and I'll feature you in an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. I felt like the Micro Machines guy there for a second, and I clearly was stumbling my words. I did not caffeinate appropriately.
You do that sometimes.
I do, but and I always, out of the corner of my eye, I see you start to smirk, and I'm like, ah. Oh.
But you get through it, and you do a good job. I have to wonder why Sean said that he's a lefty, unfortunately.
Well, I was thinking that that's from guitar availability standpoint. Because when you go into a shop and you're a lefty,
that's true.
You can't play anything.
That's true.
You just kind of got to look.
But it's got to be a plus from people not being able to ask to play your guitars when they're hanging out with you.
Good point. Very good point. Now, you said that Sean looked like one of your favorite drummers. Can you please explain that?
Sure. So when you first shared with me Sean's guitar arsenal photo, I think the first thing that came out of my mouth was, we got Mike Portnoy.
Now,
sending in a guitar arsenal.
There's 2 reasons I want you to say this. Because number 1, I bet you Sean also digs Mike Portnoy. But for
true.
Those who don't know, who the hell is Mike Portnoy?
Right. So Mike Portnoy was an original founding member, an original drummer of the prog rock band Dream Theater. That I was introduced to when I was 12 and has been hooked ever since. So there you go.
Well, thank you for explaining that.
Oh, Tony.
Yes.
Speaking of shirts.
Yes.
What shirt are you wearing today?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Because, okay, this one has a little bit of a story. Let me move some hair. This isn't a beard-friendly shirt. This is the Punch Brothers shirt that Noah and Levi got me when they went to see the Punch Brothers in Missoula. Now, get this. I originally had tickets for all three of us to go see the Punch Brothers in Missoula. But the day before the show, I found out that I had a gig scheduled that I didn't write in my planner. Mm. So being that I wanted to uphold my professional obligations as a musician, I went and played the gig. And Levi and Noah were so kind as to send me some photos and videos and also get me a shirt from the show because they know that I love going to the merch tables. It's like the highlight of any show-going experience because not only do you get cool stuff, but it feels good because you support the artist. I think that's my favorite part. It's like I like seeing what they have. I don't know, it's just part of the experience. So thank you, Noah and Levi.
You're welcome.
And it's a cool shirt. You guys did great. You did fantastic.
Thank you, Tony.
I asked him to actually send me a picture of the merch booth, and I think Noah was standing about 300 feet away, and he's like, yeah, it's over there.
You can see that there are some kinds of shirts, you know, up there or whatever, but yeah, there it is. There's the booth.
Now, Noah, I want to turn it over to you because I have to catch my breath and learn how to speak again.
I know what this means.
So I would love for you to share some small wins with us.
Let's do it. All right, here we go. Small wins. Got three of them for you today.
All right.
Got like some three and threes going.
I love it.
First one comes from Aaron C. Says, I've been playing guitar for about 18 years now, and I finally bought my very first Martin today. It is a D28 special, and I couldn't be happier with it.
That's awesome. Congratulations. New guitar day.
Next small win comes from Lee C., who says, my small win, I was on vacation in Kauai.
Cool.
Stopped by the chicken in a barrel stand in Hanalei. Just let me finish.
Sorry.
As I was putting in my order, the young woman behind the counter commented on my CF Martin & Co. baseball cap. We bonded immediately. She told me, my dad has 8 Martins. He says he has to have one to leave to each of his children. Cool. Everybody needs a hobby or two. And the last small win comes from Daniel V. He says, got my first set of Elixir NanoWeb coated strings, and what a difference. Sounds amazing.
All right. Awesome.
And I have to concur because I'm not primarily a guitar player, but both for my bass and guitar, I too choose Elixirs.
It's true. It's true. We were talking about that just the other day.
We were. What did you say?
Well, we were talking about, I think it was the Martin Titanium Core strings and them being $40.
Uh-huh.
And then you had made some comment, or we were talking about the fact that, well, if you're a bass player, that's like,
right,
that's par for the course.
Yeah.
We're just not used to it as guitar players. A real quick note on the Martin Titanium Core strings, because that caused quite a few comments.
Yeah.
On our, what episode was that? 56?
Yes.
56. I reviewed the Martin Titanium Core strings. I had a pretty darn good experience with them, but I had some questions. I haven't heard back from Martin as of yet. Hopefully I will. But I also, in the comments, it seemed like there was kind of a 50-50 scenario. Some folks were like, tried them. They're lasting forever. I love them. And other folks were like, yeah, they broke immediately. So the verdict is still kind of out. I'm still messing with mine. I haven't changed them yet because I really want to keep reporting back to you all about the longevity of the strings. And so far, I'm pretty impressed. They haven't broken for me yet. Although once people started leaving comments, I started doing a little bit more research, and apparently them breaking is a thing. But again, I haven't heard from Martin yet, so hopefully I will, and we can clear some of that up. But my experience so far has been pretty good. They've been lasting a good long time on my 35 single 017. They've been on there for about, I want to say, a little bit over a month now. They still sound clear. They don't sound muddy at all. So far, so good. But I'm curious to try those against the retro strings because the wrap is similar. So I'm curious. I'll bring that up on a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. But just wanted to go back in the archives and report back that I'm still a guitar geek and still after the truth about those titanium core strings.
And Tony, real quick, that was episode 55.
It was 55. Okay.
55.
So AT55, yeah, Tuesday episode 55 is when I did the full-blown review on the titanium strings. But as I mentioned, I'm still using them, and I don't know, so far so good. I just want to know more about the price point and what's involved. That's all. That's it. Just being honest. and of course, since Noah did just read the small wins, if you have a small win that you want to share with us, please do it. These small wins are so important for the positive momentum that we need to experience in our guitar journey. Just in the comments below, put hashtag small win, and then go ahead and describe your small win. Maybe it was you tried new strings for the first time. Maybe you met a fellow guitar geek because you were wearing a hat. Whatever the case may be, we want to know, and we want you to share it with everybody that watches Acoustic Tuesday. So please leave those small wins in the comments. Now, moving on, the last Canadian luthier on our Great White North tour is one that I had never heard of up until last week. And then I did the full-blown, you know, guitar geek thing where you kind of find out about them, and then all of a sudden the next couple hours are spent researching and listening and things like that. And the person I'm referring to is Shelley Park of North Vancouver, British Columbia. Shelley Park has been building guitars since 1991. I tried to go by memory, but then I had to check my notes. She's been building guitars since 1991, and she builds guitars in the Selmer McAfee tradition. So think Gypsy Jazz, think Django Reinhardt, Stefan Rembel, Lulo Reinhardt, any of those folks that play gypsy jazz. These are the kind of guitars that Shelley builds. Now, she builds guitars of all different types. I mean, she builds the ones with the smaller oval sound holes that are kind of more focused in their projection, good for lead. She also builds the larger D-hold, more rhythm instruments, and they're stunning. She does such an amazing job. In fact, I've listened to quite a few reviews of the guitars, and they're just, I mean, they have this laser-like projection and just a great fit for that gypsy jazz style. She's clearly done her homework. She's clearly steeped in the tradition, that Selmer McAfee tradition, when Mario McAfee was building for the Selmer Company. And there's a really great interview that was done, I think, through CBC Vancouver. It's a series they do called Inside the Craft, and she starts to talk about the gypsy jazz guitars in particular. And she comes to these guitars with an interesting perspective in that she builds them, but she also plays as well. I believe she was part of the band, I want to say it's Pearl Django. I think that's the name of the band. This is, again, going from memory. But she has a wealth of knowledge on the topic. So let's actually listen to her talk about her guitars.
This is the jazz manouche style.
That's correct. These are based on the designs of Mario McAfee and the Selmer Company of France. Obviously, distinctly different look of instrument. He uses a tailpiece, a floating bridge, and a teeny tiny little oval sound hole.
So it's quite a different way of keeping the strings.
Indeed. And the physics of the instrument are just completely different because this is trying to push the bridge through the top, whereas on the flat top guitar, it's trying to rip the bridge off the top. So
different.
They're completely different structurally on the inside. And as you can hear, here's that same G chord. It's a little bit brash, and so these instruments function really well in a jazz manouche context because the decay, the projection of the instrument is suitable for that acoustic situation where you have at least two other guitars, a violin, a bass, and you need to project, but you need to not create mud out of the sound. So it's kind of ear piercing.
It's so loud.
But it's very typical of that style.
And very percussive, like you say, very percussive.
Very percussive. It's really, sometimes I think of myself as more of a hi-hat. You know, as a rhythm guitar player, I play more like the hi-hat of a drum kit.
As a guitar guitar geek, it would behoove you to check out Shelly Park's website. In fact, you can get there by going to acousticlife.tv/AT58. And once you're on Shelly's website, there's going to be links on the post and everything. Once you go over to Shelly's website, you're going to see there's two spots specifically that I think you should check out. The first is entitled Materials. And she goes through Tonewoods and just what she chooses to use, why she chooses to use it. It's incredibly informational and something that I think every guitar geek should check out. The second part of her website that you absolutely must check out is models that are available for sale, because I don't think they come up for sale all that often. And last I checked, there was two or three on there, and they look stunning. There was a maple model up there that I just thought was beautiful, and I was like, oh, I should get into gypsy jazz. I don't know how to play gypsy jazz, but that guitar alone is inspirational enough to make me want to learn. So anyways, please check that out. Again, that's Shelly Park of North Vancouver, British Columbia, building some truly exceptional gypsy jazz style guitars. Now, we're pretty much done with Acoustic Tuesday episode 58, but we do have to visit your Guitar Geek trivia question. So here was your Guitar Geek trivia question. Georgia Music Hall of Fame inductees Gid Tanner and the Skillet Lickers were known for their take on American traditional music, fiddle tunes, and even comedy sketches. Who was the Skillet Lickers guitar player? Was it Riley Puckett, Edgar Bowes, Charlie Patton, or Roy Harvey? Well, if you answered A, Riley Puckett, you're absolutely correct. Puckett was one of the first members of Gid Tanner and his Skillet Lickers and continued to record with the group through their last session in 1934. Puckett recorded as a solo artist into the early 1940s, creating a discography of more than 200 records on such labels as Columbia, Decca, and Bluebird. His repertoire included novelty songs, religious songs, traditional folk songs, cowboy songs, and ballads from the field of popular music. His dynamic single-string guitar playing featured dramatic bass runs, which earned for him an enviable reputation as an instrumentalist. Many aspiring guitarists who followed him have studied and copied his style. And the reason I chose this trivia question was specifically because Riley Puckett has one of the best styles of old-time country guitar that you will ever hear. The bass runs are the absolute highlight. Just go to Spotify, go to YouTube, type in Riley Puckett, and you're going to be blown away because he does some of the most interesting bass runs. And I think he's the type of guitarist, I mean, from way back in the 30s that people are still emulating today. So pretty cool Guitar Geek trivia and very useful. And another listening example for you. All right, that definitely puts Acoustic Tuesday number 58 to bed. But we do have to take a sneak peek into next week to see what's going to happen next week on Acoustic Tuesday episode number 59. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, we're going to chat about my first guitar. We're going to follow a trail of breadcrumbs. And this is Noah's favorite. We're going to learn about a giant who has an enormous appetite. So please tune in next Tuesday for Acoustic Tuesday. And remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday, well, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time on YouTube. And to get your acoustic fix in between Tuesdays, just go to acousticlife.tv, click around. You're going to be amazed at all of the guitar geeky goodness that awaits you there. So check out acousticlife.tv. And until next Tuesday, have a fantastic week. And from Noah, from myself, we wish you many strums, many smiles, and we'll see you next Tuesday on Acoustic Tuesday. See you later.